Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. My name is Raul. This is a location where you will find that we deal with the real issues that men deal with on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound. We're here to offer hope and help for men in their challenged moments, in their challenged times, in the confusion of their mind. Because we are on the internet and you can listen to the show at any given time. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And in the studio today, I have Steve with me today. Good to have you this morning, brother.
Good morning, Raul. It's a wonderful day.
It is. This is the one that he has blessed us with. So we will rejoice and be glad in it. It's about letting others know that there is a solution to all these challenges in our life. And it is not a quick fix. It's not a vending machine that you come in and throw your dollar in and get my Pepsi out. It doesn't quite happen that way. It does at times, but not. I haven't found it that way for me. You know, I get mine more of the educational variety. Sometimes I have to hit my head up against a wall a few times, realizing all I have to do is turn left. But on occasion, before we get started with our main topic that we're going to talk about today, which is we're going to kill the giant today. Okay, but what we are going to do first is we are actually going to answer an email that you guys send to us. You can send in a challenge, a problem, something that's on your mind, something you'd like to get some advice from other brothers. You can send that in, and we will answer it anonymously. Send it in to help, H-E-L-P, at bandofbrothersradio.com, and we will do the very best we can to be able to answer an email. And we have one today, actually, that is in response to, I believe it was last Tuesday night at our function here in Bellingham at the Band of Brothers. Steve, who's in the studio with me today, actually shared with the men. And it, and one of the gentlemen actually responded back with an email that he attempted to do something that he believed he heard. And we're going to try to just kind of get some clarification on this thing. And Steve, you add to it anything that you'd like to ahead of time here.
Well, let's start with the email. So obviously this brother was with us last Tuesday night. And one of the themes that we discussed was that God is love. Yes. And that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the love of God flows through us. And we made a very clear distinction that there's a difference between a human kind of love and God's love. Yes. So human love, basically, we're pretty much in it for what it does for us.
Yes.
We love because it makes us feel good. We love because it makes us feel secure. We love because we are expecting something in return. When we're filled with God's love, all of that fallenness and brokenness comes to an end, and we love the way God loves us,
right,
by grace, unconditionally. And one of the definitions, so the scripture tells us in 1 John that God is love. There is absolutely no question about that, and that he first loved us, and that he sent his son to die for us. But one of the definitions of love is found in 1 Corinthians 13, which we usually read at weddings, and so much so we think that's its application.
Right.
But it's really an expression of what love looks like when we're filled with the Spirit. Well, one of the definitions of love in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love keeps no record of wrongs. So we're saved by grace. Our sins have been forgiven. Jesus paid the price. It's all under the blood. He's keeping no record, and we walk with him in fellowship. And the Bible says, as we walk with him, if we acknowledge our sins, that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, that God keeps no record of wrong. So we made that application to marriage. And said, you know, if you really love your wife, we were talking to men, but this would be true for women as well, if they really love their husband. If you are loving with God's love, then you're going to stop keeping a record of wrongs. Right. Let it go. Just love that person the way God loves you. Mm-hmm. That was the message. But here's what this brother writes. He says that the message said that love is not keeping records of wrongs. So I told my friend, and obviously he's talking about his girlfriend or his spouse or his significant other. So I told my friend this about us, and it backfired. Why, he asks, was it because I told her that that was what we have been doing lately? Please advise. So here's a brother that missed the point entirely. But I'll let you take a swing at this, and then I'll make a comment.
You know, I kind of grinned when I read this, and I just said, "Oh my goodness!" I said, "You know what? There's one word in here that shows up twice, and this is where I believe that he missed this home run ball that was thrown at him." He says, "We," that he actually came to her saying, "Oh." You know, this is exactly what, in his mind, I can see it.
Oh, yes.
I would do this myself.
Oh, yeah.
This is exactly
what
you've been doing to me. You've been keeping records of my wrongs. And I have done that for you, but I'm going to stop doing that. But this is what you need to see, that you've been keeping records of my wrongs. And if you stop doing that, then everything's going to be okay. And that, I mean, I see this, good intention, but he just missed it.
This is so typical. Where we take a truth from God's word, miss the meaning in the spirit, and try to use it as a tool, like a hammer or a saw or a mechanism, to try to get off the hook for our own personal responsibilities.
Right.
I mean, I can see the wheels turning in this guy's head. If I can just get her to stop keeping a record of my wrongs, I'm going to be home free.
Yep.
And that was not the message. The message is this, is that that you'll never be able to love that person the way God loves you until you get filled with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And when you are, because that's Christ in us.
Right.
That's the Holy Spirit. This is not a religious mechanisms of do's and don'ts and rules. This is a relationship with God Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
That he loved us, he gave himself for us, he fills us with his Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is a God kind of love.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, Raul, I don't know any man and woman who are married who somewhere along the line haven't wounded each other.
Yes.
And they're the deep, disappointing wounds, and they leave their mark. But then there's those daily agitations and irritations and little disappointments that start to add up. But you know what God's saying to us? God's saying, listen, I want to love that person through you.
Yes.
This is no longer about you.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to get blessed in ways beyond your wildest expectations and imagination. He's going to do exceedingly and abundantly more. Because, as I tell you, nothing, there isn't anything better that could happen to you and I today than for an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to flow through us and express God's love, God's truth, and God's mercy to somebody else.
Yes.
I mean, that will be that will be the high point of our day today as we walk through life to be able to share God's love. Well, and that's what the Scripture is telling us here. You want to love your spouse? Then stop keeping a record of wrongs. Don't ask them to stop keeping a record of your wrongs, because that's not the point here.
Right, right.
Because you can't provoke them to love you that way, but God can, but it starts with you as a man.
And you know that part where we just sit back at so often, I mean, we have good intentions saying, hey, let's try to erase everything and go from here. And that's actually sort of taking control, trying to control that individual, of getting them to do it the way that you see it. She, unfortunately, was not there that night to hear or receive that message. That was for him.
Absolutely. Yeah, she wasn't there. The message was for him. But here's the deal. As men, our heads got bumped when we came out of the womb. She's probably got a catalog of issues with him that are going in her mind over and over and over and over, because everything in her mind is connected.
Right.
You know, we think about one thing.
Right.
Then we move on to something else.
Right.
Then we move on to something else. And so when he brought this subject up of keeping no record of wrong, I mean, he pulled the pin out of the grenade.
That's so true.
I mean, the crash zone here, you know, and the poor guy doesn't have a clue. He doesn't see it coming. He thinks he's going to, it's like reaching in the toolbox to grab a half inch wrench to tighten a bolt. He thinks this will be fast and easy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work that way. But on the other hand, you know, Jesus said, you're either going to fall on the rock and be broken,
yes,
or the rock is going to fall on you.
Right.
And God's calling us to cast ourselves upon the rock,
mm-hmm,
a brokenness of surrender. Mm-hmm. And forgiveness and love are inseparable. They're absolutely, you know, and I want to mention this morning. So sometimes people will say to me, well, they never asked me to forgive them. Well, why do they need to ask?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Why do they need to ask? Why not just forgive them? If they ever get around to asking, so be it. But that's their issue. Why carry around that bitterness? I read this the other day. Age will wrinkle your face, but bitterness will wrinkle your soul.
Mm.
So the thing is, when you love the way God loves, you forgive. But you can apply this principle. I'm going to walk through the door of my work today. And I've already resolved, when I walk through the door of my work, I'm keeping no record of wrongs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why not? You talk about spiritual freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about the ability to get in tune with God. Forgive. The past is the past. You dwell on it. It's not going to change it. God's not telling us to look backwards. He's calling us by faith to look forwards. And so this brother needs to come back to school. We definitely need to sit him down and to straighten him out.
Well, and it may not happen overnight, that's for sure. But here's, I think, just maybe to give you a couple of applicable points, is that in this situation, there's obviously, if there's still communication taking place between you and your significant other, you need to make her aware of the simple fact of, hey, here's, I think, clarification that I received today. The fact is that sometimes my mouth opens before it should, okay? And that I should actually probably put a little candy on my feet, so before I stick that foot in my mouth, it tastes a little better. But no, truly, I believe in this sense here is that you need, in a sense, to try to make some sort of smoothing out of this situation that you might very well be in, is to truly be upfront and honest. This is where you kind of set it up for yourself to be able to let her know, maybe asking her for forgiveness for some of the things that you've been doing that you know that she's keeping a record of, okay? And you also know what those are. So you need to come to her and let her know. Similar to what Steve just said, instead of waiting for her to ask you, that you go to her, forgive me for how I have been treating you, and I'm in the process of learning, and I am in kindergarten, and I'm ready to go through whatever I need to go through, but please be patient with me, you know?
Absolutely. And one last thought. So what he was reaching for would be the hope for every couple. Can you imagine how deep love could grow if both parties understood this principle and stopped keeping a record of wrongs?
Mm.
I mean, let it go. Mm. Throw the catalog out. Throw the history book out. Mm-hmm. Start fresh today,
mm-hmm,
and allow God's love to flow through you to that other person.
Mm-hmm.
It's powerful.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Thank you, brother, for sending in the email. I know that you feel like you just got barraged by one of the battleships out there, and all of a sudden, boom, boom, boom. But you know what? So deserving, and you accepted it very, very well. So thank you, brother, for sending that in. We're going to be back so we can talk about killing the giant. So you're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
If you're a man that is struggling with alcohol, drugs, pornography, money issues, gambling, there is hope for you. On Monday nights, we have Valiant Warriors, and I invite you to come and check this out. You will come to learn very quickly that you're not alone in your challenge, that there's no judgment nor condemnation. A group of men who are willing to say, I need help. If you live in Whatcom County, come and check us out on Monday nights, every Monday night at 6 p.m. You will not regret it, because there is hope and you can break free. For more information, go to bandofbrothersforchrist.org and click on Valiant Warriors. I'm going home to the place where I belong, where your love has always been enough for me.
Not running from you, no, I think you got me all wrong. I don't regret this life just for me. Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. My name is Raul, and I have in the studio with me today Steve. And boy, we've been talking about David for quite a few weeks. And I believe a week ago today, we actually started with David and Goliath. And we thought we'd end up the story of David with David and Goliath, where most people would say, wow, you started with the rooftop experience. And but actually, we're ending it with David and Goliath. And there's a reason for that. And you know what? You can always go back to last Monday, I think, which was the 28th of February, if you want to hear the beginning of this David and Goliath track that we're on. And so we are actually talking about David as a youth. We've kind of figured out, in a sense, or maybe not figured out, but we're assuming that he's probably a teenager. He's handsome. He's young. He's ruddy. He has actually been anointed, okay, to be the next king of Israel. And he's actually a shepherd boy who's been had some experiences of taking care of not only the sheep and protecting them and getting them to where they can be fed and watered and nurtured, so to speak, but he's also protected them. He's actually killed a bear and a lion as a result of it. And being the youngest of, I believe, seven boys, I believe, in that family, the Israelites were actually at war, and they were actually, his brothers were at the front lines, and his dad sent him to bring him some provisions, some food and stuff. And he actually ended up finding out and hearing this giant who was calling out all the Israelites to say that we're scaring them. Nobody wanted to fight this guy. He was 9 foot tall, and, huge, mighty, mighty man physically. And David, little David, decides that, you know what, I'm anointed by God. I'm not going to be taking this from him. So there you go, brother. There's a little startup on that. Well, that's a good setup, and that's exactly right. David was anointed by God, and he knew it by his experience. And I think the point that we've made previously and we'll start with today is that whatever you're going through right now isn't, in all likelihood, the end of things. And God may be using today to prepare you for greater victories in the future.
Yes.
And when David was out tending the sheep, he killed the lion, and at another time he killed the bear. Nobody saw that. It was a private victory. And God oftentimes allows us to be tested privately, and the private victory is preparation for a more public victory. But God wants us to know that the power is coming from him and not from us, lest we be lifted up with pride and fall into the devil's trap, as we read in the New Testament. Now, let's get the picture. Goliath, as you mentioned, he is huge. He's head and shoulders above all the other soldiers. He is the champion of the armies of the Philistines. And in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, the scripture tells us that verse 8, Goliath would come down and he would shout at the Israeli soldiers, why don't you come out and line up for battle? He'd intimidate them. And then he made this proposition: you send somebody out and he and I will fight. If I win, then your whole army is subject to us. If your man wins, then we'll all be subject to you. So it became a one-on-one proposition. But notice in verse 11, it says, on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. So his thunderous voice, his huge physical appearance, he's a man of war, and there wasn't one man in Saul's army who had both the nerve, the commitment to Saul, the loyalty, and perhaps more importantly, any concept that God was on their side. There wasn't one person that would step out and fight this guy. So this goes on for days and days and days. Mm-hmm. And David, as you mentioned, he comes to bring some supplies to his brother, and he hears this, and and the king's promised that if you'll beat this guy, you won't pay taxes in Israel, your family won't pay taxes, you can marry one of my daughters, and still nobody will do it. But David comes along, and when he hears that, this, you know, he starts boasting and saying, in a God-centered kind of way, you know, who's this guy that's coming out against us? God is on our side. And Saul hears about it, mm-hmm. and they send for David, and David comes to Saul, and Saul is quite ready and willing to let David do it. Now, I want to ask you a question. When a man gets in a spiritual battle or a spiritual struggle, have you noticed the tendency that they want to take that problem to somebody else and try to get somebody else to fight the battle for them? I mean, you talk to men all the time. Have you ever seen that pattern?
Oh, I've not only seen it, I've experienced that myself.
Okay.
There's many times I've wanted to take the mantle that I believe that God has given me and given it to someone else. Say, I don't qualify. This is too big for me. I believe there is somebody that else that you have in mind, and help me to know who they are, and actually hoping that through prayer that that's going to be revealed to me. And time after time, I've always come up short with nobody there.
That's right. That's right. Well, I think sometimes we want to take the problem to somebody that we think is more spiritual than we are, stronger than we are. And it's not really that we want counsel. Oftentimes, we want somebody to solve the problem for us. And all the time, God's challenging us to rise to the moment.
Right.
Well, Saul listens to David, and he's quite willing to have him go out and fight this battle. And notice in verse 38, the scripture says, then Saul dressed David in his own tunic, and he put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on him. And David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried to walk around because he was not used to them. And then he said, I cannot go out in these because I am not used to them. So he took them off, and he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag with his sling in his hand, and then he approached the Philistine. So here's a picture. David's got a choice here. He either has to fight the battle the way that Saul and the other soldiers would have fought the battle. And so Saul, and that's what they're expecting, so Saul puts the armor on him, which would seem to make sense. You need as much protection and defense, you would think, against a giant like this. But David said, no, I can't do it this way. I have to do it my way, because this is how the Lord has worked in my life before. Mm-hmm. So, Raul, you're in ministry. You work with hundreds of men. You've got people coming to you for counsel and ideas. You've got other ministries looking to you for suggestions, asking what's going on with all these men. Why do they keep coming back? Have you ever found yourself tempted to try to do it the way other people have done it, or to get on a certain program that seems to have worked? Have you ever found yourself going against the grain and going out God's way, seemingly undefended and just trusting in the Lord?
You know, yes, I have. And to answer your question, again, a lot of it is because of my own insecurity, or maybe my trust and my faith in Him, that He's actually leading me in the direction to be going. As you very well know, and a lot of the listeners know, this started out as a Bible study. This ministry started out as a Bible study in my home. And what took place there, the very basic things are the same things that we do on a Tuesday night, so to speak, okay, with all the men. And there are times when I'm not there that I end up being given to me opportunities of being able to look at other men's ministries throughout the nation, okay, on how they do things that really seem to be working, as if the one that I am doing doesn't work. Now, that's all contingent on, I've got to tell you, in the flesh. I sit there and I go, wow, they've got thousands of men that apparently that come to use this means of reaching men. And yet, here we are with a few hundred, you know, and I think that, okay, maybe I need to be doing this that reaches more men. And I just find myself, when I do that, none of it ever comes, none of it works. It just doesn't work, because I believe that that's not what God has intended for me to be doing.
So, and I want to take this principle, and you articulated that perfectly, because I want to drill down on this and take it to the men that are listening. So what you just said is, and this is what Scripture says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, right, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. That there's always two paths. We can either do it in our human strength, which you just referred to as the flesh, or our natural strength, right, which is our natural gifts, talents, abilities, life experience, or we can surrender our ability and walk in the Spirit and do it God's way.
Right.
So here we've got David, and David's got to make a choice. This giant he's huge. He's enormous. David is a young man, a teenage boy, and he's either going to go out and fight him man's way, mm-hmm, or he's going to go out and fight him God's way. Mm-hmm. So every man has to make this decision over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. He has to make it at home with his family. Is, right, he going to do it his way,
right,
or is he going to do it God's way?
Right.
Men are going to be challenged at work today. Is he going to, in issues of integrity, is he going to do it man's way, or is he going to do it God's, mm-hmm, way? Challenges with raising his children. Is he going to do it his way, which is probably very similar to the way his father may have treated him, or is he going to do it God's way? So what does a man do when he comes to that crossroad, Raul? What does he do when he's got a decision between... Because I'll tell you, Saul's armor has got to be the best armor in the whole country.
Right.
I mean, you talk about a shine and a polish job. Nobody's armor is going to be nicer, look better than the armor of the king. Mm-hmm. And here, now David's, it's this flashy, and people are going to, if David walked out in Saul's armor, people would have just been blown away. Who is this guy that gets to wear the king's armor? Because nobody wears the king's armor.
Right.
I mean, there would have been pride. There would have been esteem. There would have been acknowledgement. Now, we also know there would have been failure, because he would have got defeated by Goliath. But
yes,
that part of the story is coming after the break.
Right.
But what does a man do? What does a man do when he comes to that crossroad? How do you do that?
You know, making that decision, you had two different ways of being able to go here. There's no doubt. Okay, one is saying, okay, I'm not sure. I think this one may work, because it seems to work for everybody else, and I'll try it, okay? So my best effort when I come to make those decisions is that I go by my experience. What has worked for me in the past? I need to have a clear mind at the time to be able to think clearer enough to be able to realize
what has worked for you in terms of your relationship with God.
Exactly, exactly. Versus going with what seems to be the way I need to go, okay? Or what seems that it would benefit my pride, my ego, and everything else, and respect, etc. All the things that men look for, okay? And in turn, if I go by what has actually worked for me in the past, knowing that what happened in the past, those very basic things, if I apply them into today, will work just as well, no matter how big that giant is.
So you mean when David killed the lion and when David killed the bear, even though it happened privately, he knew, because David was not stronger than the lion.
Right.
David was not stronger than the bear.
Right.
But he learned in those moments that in his weakness, God showed up and showed himself to be strong.
Yes, he did.
And so David decided at that moment, rather than go the way which made sense to the people standing there, that he would go another way, which made no sense at all. Young man reaching into the stream and pulling out five stones. That doesn't make sense.
And when we get back from our break, you're going to find out more about how David is not a people pleaser. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
I tell you, I feel like an old bear today because I love the slower pace of winter. Some of you have been as busy as a one-legged cat in a sandbox. And brothers, it's time to slow down and spend time with the family. And the very best place to gather the family is around the dining table, featuring, of course, a delicious Hempler's ham. Woo-wee! Or maybe pork and beans with some tasty Hempler's bacon cooked in it. Now, I know some of you worry about weird ingredients that some companies put in their bacon these days, but don't get your knickers in a knot. Hempler's Meats uses the finest raw ingredients available, including natural spices, and guess what? No gluten. So if you're ready to hibernate for the winter, then order your own supply of Hempler's Meats delivered right to your cave. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
You know the effort I have given, and you know exactly what it cost. And though my innocence was taken, not everything is lost. Not everything is lost, no. But your love, the only thing that matters is your love, that's all I have to give.
Welcome back to the Band of Brothers Radio, and Steve and I are talking about David and Goliath, and we're talking about David. David actually has decided not to put on the armor of Saul to go out and, you know, fight the giant. He is not a people pleaser. Boy, if it was me being asked that question many years ago, I probably would have put on the all that stuff because it would have looked good. I would have died with some class, I would probably
thought. That's
right. You know?
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Well, David's not going to be a people pleaser. He's not going to try to win the esteem and attention of people. Lays aside the armor. And you'll notice in verse 40, he took his staff in his hand, chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd bag, and with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Couple of points here. Now, we're going to get this giant killed before we get off the program this morning. In fact, you know what? In God's mind, the victory's already won. I mean,
yes.
The moment David decided to go God's way, even though that giant was still walking around, it was over. The battle wasn't won when the stone hit the giant's head. The battle was won when David decided that he would do God's will, God's way.
Amen.
That's when the battle was won. But he takes the stones, smooth stones, and we're not going to get sidetracked on this, but the stones from the stream. The stream is a picture of the Word of God flowing. The stones are a picture of our lives. The Word of God flowing over those stones, washing them smooth, taking the rough edges off, and then they become something that God can use. And that's, you know, that'd be a great theme for another day.
Yes.
But David said, "You come against me with the sword, the spear, and the javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Now, here's what I want you to help me with this morning, Raoul. David's small. Goliath is big. And when you compare Goliath to David, Goliath has to win. David's small, Goliath is big. But David sees what everybody else can't see. He sees that no matter how big Goliath is, God is much bigger.
Yes.
So how does a man, when he faces his Goliaths, see the invisible God and know him and trust him and step out by faith? How does a man do that?
You know, I believe an awful lot of that comes from our own experience with him and coming to know God and coming to spend time with him, coming to know more of him through his word and believing in his word, that those promises that he states there, that he is there for us, that he created us not only for a purpose, but he's going to take care of us, that he did not just bring us this far just to drop us, so to speak. Is that there is a fine, defined line for us. He said, this is what I want you to do, Raul, or David, or Phil, or James, or whoever is listening. He has something precise for us to do. Now, as a result of that, we are encouraged because totally, at times when we apply this, and I think a lot of it goes back to the examples here with the bear and the lion, that was God was actually showing him, saying, hey, I'm here for you. Mm-hmm. You don't have the strength to kill this, but I'm going to show you. And they were private victories, as you said. We have our private victories that take place. And we sit there and say, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for being in my life. Now, he's preparing us for the battles ahead that are going to be a lot larger. There is no doubt. It does not matter. You don't have to lead a ministry. But when you are in that position of being able to reveal somebody to somebody else that there is hope for their life and you remove that captive from the darkness, brother, you are a David seeking a Goliath to defeat them. That's exactly what God has in store because each and every individual are just, they are so cherished by God. He wants everybody to come to him, to believe in him. And he gives us that responsibility who do know him and have sensed him and have felt him to share that with others. And in turn, when we recall what that felt like in our past and things that have happened to us, we know that he didn't bring us as far just to let us go. That he is actually, if we persevere, that he is going to be there. And through what we believe our weaknesses, that's where his strength comes in.
Absolutely. When we are weak, then he is strong. And it's not until we get to that moment that we really experience God's strength. Absolutely. Absolutely. David said, he's running towards the giant now. He's not holding anything back. And he says, this day the Lord will hand you over to me. The whole earth will know that there is a God in Israel. So there is a moment when God reveals his strength through our weakness. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands.
Yes.
I think I want to say to every man in your struggle today, it's not your battle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your fight. Mm-hmm. If you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, if you've in brokenness and humility, and in your heart you know if you have really turned your life over to God or if you're still holding something back. But if you've turned your life over to God, I want to say to you, it's not your battle. It's not your fight. The battle belongs to the Lord. And if we will flow with him in the Spirit, he will show himself strong on our behalf.
When we come back from the break, we're going to share a little bit more about how this giant is actually killed. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com. We're getting close. We're about ready to kill that giant. And Steve and I are just kind of saying, we're going to kill him.
Here it comes. And as all the Philistines move closer to attack him, verse 48, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. Praise God.
But it didn't end right there.
Well, no. And that's the thing is, Raul, the story never ends.
Yes.
It never ends. I mean, there's no final battle. And in fact, one of the reasons we saved the beginning story until the end of our study of David was because it brings into view the rest of David's life. He's going to have moments of great victory.
Right.
He's going to have some moments of real defeat. Mm-hmm. You know, in the 23rd Psalm where it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we read that at funerals. Mm-hmm. But actually the translation there is, though I walk through the darkest valley,
right,
the Lord is with me.
Right.
And David's going to have some dark valleys, but the Lord's with him. And he's going to be able to say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Mm-hmm. David knows and trusts his God.
Mm.
And this is a great day of victory.
Right.
And it's a forever story for us. It's not a little kid story. It's not a fable. It's not a bedtime story. This is a story for men.
Yes.
I may be small. My battles may seem enormous, but no matter how big they are, I'm serving a God who is greater, who is able, who will do exceedingly and abundantly above all I ask or imagine, and it's all by grace. I love it that he killed the giant, the scripture says, without a sword in his hand. In other words, he didn't do it man's way.
Right.
And when your deliverance comes, when your victory comes, you're going to discover it wasn't, and I'm not against self-help and anything that'll improve the human condition, but there is no substitute for the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's Christ in us, flowing through us, that brings a victory.
And that's where we have to get to that place of finally realizing that the things that I've been doing all of my life have not worked.
Huh.
And so I need to actually seek something else. And that something else, brother, is Jesus Christ.
Not something else, it's someone else.
Exactly.
That's right.
So, you know, David here, he actually is preparing, or God is preparing him for what really lies ahead.
Absolutely.
I mean, because it's huge, the things that he has years ahead that he's going to experience.
That's right.
This may seem very small compared to the things that are in front of him.
Absolutely. Everything in our lives, God is conforming us into the image of Christ. We're saved by grace, but then there's this, and by grace, we can't bring anything to it. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, the Bible says you will be saved. But then we begin this lifetime journey where we become more and more and more and more like Jesus. We're in the family. He's the older brother. We're praying, our Father who art in heaven. And Paul's saying, listen, it's time to leave the things of this world behind and start living like sons. You're in an eternal kingdom. I mean, this doesn't end with death. Jesus said, if you believe in me, you're never going to die. That body in the casket, that was just the house. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We have eternal life. We've already begun our eternal relationship and fellowship with God, frustrated by this human body. But Paul said, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through my Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Mm-hmm. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. So it's time to start living as sons.
Yep. And as David did, he persevered.
Absolutely.
Through all of this stuff.
Absolutely.
He persevered. And that in itself, you know, let's see. I'm just going to go. I'm going to read where I had it here in Romans. In Romans 4. Here we go. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance.
Yes.
Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You know, we just have to know that God is there. Once we have that, and sometimes what I need, because if I leave it up to myself to try to know all of this, I'm going to be in trouble. The enemy is not going to be leaving me alone. He's going to be lying to me. He's going to stir in a little bit of truth with some of those lies. I'm going to all of a sudden fall into those. But truly what it comes down to is I need others. I need men to come around sometimes to be able that I can go to say, I need help here. This is a challenge in my life. It may be small to you, but know this is that those small things, they add up. And when they add up, they become the Goliath. And all of a sudden it seems overwhelming. Don't know quite how to do this. So those are things that we end up wanting to be able to strive toward and just being willing to reach out to other men, right?
Absolutely. And one last thought. Remember that before David killed Goliath, his brothers tried to discourage him. The giant laughed at him. The other men sitting on the sidelines who were terrified and afraid, they didn't believe he could do it. David had to overcome not only his own, he had to put his faith into practice, but he had to overcome the discouragement and defeated attitude of those around him. God's looking for men today who will draw a line and say, the battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord's. Mm-hmm. And I'm going out in the name of the Lord by faith, expecting victory.
Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity of being able to come at this time with my brother who is listening, my brother who's in the studio with me, Father. I pray your Holy Spirit to empower my brothers to be able to persevere, Father, and to know that they can actually, with you, Father, alongside of you, to be able to persevere through the flames, through the fire, through all that is taking place in their lives, Father. May they submit themselves to you. May they know that your strength will be perfected in their weakness, Father. I thank you for how you're going to reveal yourself to them. We give you all the praise and all the glory, Father, for what you're about to do in their lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother, there is hope, and you are not alone.
Amen.